Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And we welcome James Hamm in here.
James Hamm in the house. Show.
Just fair warning, James, we've been taking notes of things that we wanted to ask you all day long. So... It starts. Let's
start with the bombshell. We got to start with the bombshell.
Go ahead.
There's a bombshell.
Go ahead.
There's a bombshell. So look, all right, James. And well, mind you, I'm not saying to do this. I'm just bringing up a scenario, James. For a little background, when we were trying to trade Buddy and Bagley all summer, I was the one, James. I was the one about a month before. I said, you know, I look around. I don't really see much out there. I don't see anything that works for everybody involved. The only thing that could possibly happen, and Kings fans wouldn't like this, is trading for Kyle Kuzma. That actually works, but Kings fans ain't going to like that. They threw tomatoes at me and all this other stuff. Guess what happened about a month later? Kyle Kuzma, buddy, here. I'm telling you. That's all I'm saying. So, Kyrie Irving, we're starting to believe that the Nets are kind of done with Kyrie. They came out with a report not too long ago saying they're not going to engage in contract extensions, anything like that. I think they're ready to move on from Kyrie. I just brought up the scenario, not saying I would do it. I say, if you're so anxious to get rid of Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley, why not explore the opportunity of trading him to Brooklyn? Not expecting Kyrie to come here and play. It would simply be a salary dump to clear money off of your books.
Okay, so I haven't looked at his contract. How many years does he have after this year?
One. And this is it. This is his last year with Brooklyn.
It's an expiring for Kyrie. And a lot of people are already looking at Buddy and Marvin as afterthoughts to what this team is trying to do this year. They're not looking at them as like focal points of what they're trying to do. They're almost looking at them as a holdup to what they're trying to do. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, see, that's really interesting to me because I think it does a couple of things.
You heard it here. James said it's interesting. You guys can leave me alone.
I totally agree. It's interesting because you can do a couple of things. Number one, he can never fly out here, which is one option. They can basically do what the Larry Hughes deal with him, where Larry Hughes never came to the Kings when he was traded as part of the Kevin Martin T-Mac deal. And the Kings have done that with other players. I remember Jason Terry didn't want to come out. Sam Cassell was traded to the Kings at one point, never came out. The most notorious was Daniels. The Kings traded for Daniels to reach the minimum contract, the minimum salary, so they wouldn't get fined. Marquise Daniels, after he had hurt his neck and not play.
I do remember. I do remember.
They had to get up to the floor. So, I mean, you could do that. That's number one. But number two, you could do something like if you waived him and stretch provisioned him, then you'd break his contract. That wouldn't really work out. You break his contract, it's the length of the deal divided by times two and then add a year. So basically you could break his contract over 3 years. That, again, I would not do because then it ties up money down the road. Mm-hmm. Or you could just sit on him, and then at the trade deadline, if some big-time team says, hey, you got Kyrie sitting there, and do you want to be part of a big deal? Or, hey, Ben Simmons is available. Would Kyrie – like, there could be a possibility. Like, all of those make sense. I mean, even Kyrie coming in and playing limited time, because remember, in California if he was traded to the Golden State Warriors, he could not participate. But in Sacramento, because we don't have that ordinance in Sacramento, he actually could play for the Kings. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, you wouldn't want to impede on the development of your guards. But if you're going to run three guard sets all the time, who would you rather have, Kyrie or Buddy Hield?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Buddy because of his three-point shooting. But, I mean, Kyrie's a really crafty guy. But then you're bringing in really a distraction because right. That's what he is at this point. And again, he's close with Tristan Thompson. You know, they played together with Cleveland. And but I really do believe you're bringing in a massive distraction and, you know, a guy that believes that the earth is flat. I mean,
I don't think he really believes that. I think he just says stuff.
Like, you know, you might be right.
Kyrie just says stuff like he
says whatever.
He's a dude who wants to. We've talked a lot about this, James. Like this, he wants to stand up for a cause, but he can't decide what cause he wants to stand up for.
Yeah.
He's just
with you. I'm with you on that. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. Like, find a cause, stand up for it. I'm fine. You know, most of the causes I fully get behind. But if you really can't stand up for a cause that makes sense or put forth an argument that really is cogent and like makes like any sort of like real world sense, like standing up for people who have lost their jobs is like those people had a choice, you know, like it is what it is. If you don't want to abide by the rules of what's happening in the world and in a pandemic, then there's a good chance you're going to lose your job if you work for a company that's, you know, 50 or 100 people or more. So,
And James, so when I talk about something like that with Buddy and Kyrie, I'm fully expecting Kyrie not to show up and he can do whatever he wants to do for the year. I look at it from a Kings perspective of this. With the Buddy, we talked about the universal trade or whatever the case may be. Buddy and Bagley. Yep. When you're talking about making that trade, if you combine them or whatever the case may be, I was telling people, it's all fine and dandy to hope that, you could package those two and get some kind of starter or whatever the case may be. But I think I feel like that's a pipe dream. I feel if you're going to make that trade, you're going to make it to kind of clear space for guys like Davion or Terrence Mitchell to play without any minutes conflict. And you're going to have to take on, there's two scenarios in my opinion. You're taking on a lesser player, so you're not winning the trade. It would be something like Batum or Luke Kennard, you know, just to clear space for guys to play minutes. Or it would be somebody like Kyrie where you could clear cap space. And what other way under Buddy's contract right now are you going to be able to clear that $20 million? Because even in a trade for Kennard or Batum, you've got to bring the money back. And if they're expiring, sure, that works, but they might not be expiring. So it was a thought. It's not anything I'm trying to do. But as I think about it, that's a way to get that $20 million off the books and be kind of clear of it.
Well, it's 60. I mean, well, I think it's 63. It's 23 this year, 21 next year, 19 the next year. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. And, you know, clearing that money, one problem is the NBA salary cap is so incredibly complicated. And without looking and doing quick math and adding up all of the contracts the Kings have moving forward, it'd be hard to know what exactly that frees you up, because you could lose Marvin and Buddy, and then you could only have like $9 million in cap space because you're already up and over the tax, or you're already up and over the actual cap. But then it would also open up the potential for signing trades with Kyrie if that came on down the road. He could always opt to take less money in a buyout. That's something that could happen, where if he wants to go play for a contender in the final, 2.5 months of the season, maybe he would take $8 million less or something to go play where he wants to and try to get revenge on the Nets. I'm not sure. It's just such a weird situation. And the one thing I don't think I would want is what you're saying is, if you were to make that deal, I don't think I want him anywhere near my team, because he's just such a wild card at this point. And like, as players get in the league, they come in and they're green and they don't know what they're doing and they talk to the media too much. And then as they get older and older, they do less and less of that. And, they become more guarded. I don't want to skip a couple of years of like watching guys like Davion or Tyrese Halliburton kind of grow up and figure out who they are in the league and either have a voice or not have a voice. I think bringing in a guy like Kyrie, it kind of would twist and turn what's happening behind the scenes. And I think right now you got a good vibe. I don't think he's going to help you. And you know, as a player, he's actually, you know, an extremely talented player, but the rest of the stuff is always just like, do you need the distraction? And I don't think he would.
Yeah.
But with Kyrie, you get the voice of the voiceless, James. So you have that. Kings insider, James Hamm. This really came about because we were kind of setting the barometer of, you know, we were talking about the Lakers coming, having over an overall NBA conversation. And there's always this belief of, you know, how the Lakers got to start a certain way, or, you know, they're going to be the focal point of everything. They're going to be the focal point of negativity if they don't start a certain way. And that brought us into the Kings conversation where we're all under belief they can't get behind the eight ball early in the season. But what we were trying to establish is, what's the breaking point? Like, what point are Monty's eyebrows really raised? Like, if we get, and Kenny set the date as December 1st. Kenny had the team 10 games under 500, which I thought was crazy. Like, they can't be that far under 500 to me before that get Monty's attention. I set the number at 5. We agreed to meet in the middle. You're obviously much more locked into these guys. Like, is there a breaking point for, or do you think that there's a breaking point for Monty headed into this season?
And a breaking point as in you do something drastic, like fire a coach or make a big trade?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, December 1st is an interesting date. I would actually push it back 14 days. December 15th is the first day that players that were signed during this offseason can be traded. So that's always – it's the first date that is always circled on the NBA. Once the season begins and teams are sort of set, it's what can kick off sort of trade frenzies. It doesn't usually have like a massive impact, but for certain teams it does, because you might have signed a guy that just isn't working out and you're like, or if you have a bigger deal that you want to do, but just to throw out a name, say like an Alex Len or a Mo Harkless needs to be included in that deal to make the numbers work. You can't do that deal until December 15th. So it's sort of the complexities of it. Now, as far as like how bad the team is and when do you start making changes or when you start, you know, like starting to do some different direction, again, you're probably right. 7 to 10 games under 500 is a pretty big deal. I don't know, like, if there's going to be a panic button. And I'll also say that like the last two seasons, Luke Walton's teams have gotten off to bad starts. It's kind of the way that things happen. They don't get off to a quick start, and then they actually start improving and start playing better towards the end of the season. And so you might give him a little bit longer, just knowing that you still owe him another year on his contract. But you know, again, if things aren't going well and you get past the All-Star break, I certainly think that the team will start looking to figure out what they're going to do. If Luke is a long-term answer, is they're going to let him play out the last season as a lame duck? Is Alvin Gentry someone that you want to bring in and then see what he's got? I mean, like, I think there are a lot of question marks in this season walking in. And I think the biggest one, which I've said repeatedly, is like, if there is a huge question mark about Walton, like, what does that mean for Monty McNair? You know, do you let him hire the next coach knowing that he doesn't have a huge amount of time left on his deal, and sort of repeat the cycle of insanity that the Kings have done time and time again, where they hire a coach and then they hire a GM and then the GM fires the coach and then brings in a new coach with a longer deal than he has. And then that doesn't work out, so they let go of that. I mean, like, we just keep doing it. And even with Dave Yeager, I know that they had got to a point where they had matched Vlade and his years that were left on the deal because they wanted to avoid this whole mismatch thing. And then they fired Dave and Vlade stayed on for another year, even though I think he had another year after that left on his contract. Then he signs Walton for 4 years and then loses his job after 1 year. And here you are right back in the same exact situation, just repeatedly again and again and again. So, I mean, again, this is my 12th season covering the team. I've never seen a coach make it into his fourth season. There's not been a single coach. Dave Yeager got 3 full seasons. Paul Westphal got 2 in like 18 games, something like that. Michael Malone didn't even get, he was fired like less than 20 games into a second season, or right around 20 something games into a second season. So at a certain point, you have to stick with an identity and let it play itself out. And to be honest with you, I don't think the Kings are getting it off to a horrible start. I haven't looked at the schedule to kind of match and see what I would predict. But I think there's also something about this season that is unpredictable. You're not sure who this team is. They sure do seem to be getting along really well. They have a really good vibe. They're playing really hard against each other. The competition's high. Guys are fighting for minutes. They're fighting for rotational spots. So that's all good. That's what you want. You want competition. Iron strengthens iron is the saying, right? Halliburton uses it all the time, but he's not the first one to use that. And I think that this team does have potential to not have a horrible start and to actually show some promise.
When you talk about getting off to a good start when you're the Sacramento Kings, obviously, yeah, start 7-2. Like, that's great. It's imperative. But you mentioned Luke Walton's teams, and that's a good point. They generally gain steam as the season go along, and they don't get off to good starts. Is it super important for them to start strong, in your opinion? Or do you think they have the makeup of a team that if they were 5 games below 500 come December 15th, they can rebound from that? They're mentally tough enough. They seem to be together enough to be able to rebound from that and turn the season around. Do you think they have that type of makeup?
Yeah.
So far?
From what I'm seeing so far, yes. Like, the group that's there, the additions of guys like Harkless and Tristan Thompson, and, you know, even Alex Len, you know, they do bring some experience, and some, they come from winning cultures. Even Terrence Davis comes from a big time winning culture, even though he only played there 2 seasons. I mean, he was part of a 50 something win Raptors team his rookie season, and he played a huge amount of minutes. So these are guys that come from winning cultures, and they're guys that are telling us that things feel good. They feel, we can't predict, but things feel right. So as far as like how far they could dig out of a hole, I'm not sure that we know how deep of a hole you can dig out of this season, because to me, it really does look like there are the haves and the have nots. And the have nots is a huge group. And that means that we could get 50, 60 games into the season, and there could be, you know, 6 teams that are right around the same mark, and they're all fighting for, you know, 6 through 10 or 6 through 12, they're all in that same range. Because I look around and I don't see a lot of teams in the Kings range that made positive additions during the offseason. I hear people talk about Minnesota, and, you know, they give up Ricky Rubio, they bring in Patrick Beverley. There's really not a lot of difference between their team outside of that. Will Cat play more? Maybe. But we have no guarantee of that. Will Anthony Edwards get better? Yes, he'll get better. But again, like, you don't know who they are. I thought Memphis got a bunch of praise for doing a bunch of strange lateral moves, and in the end, when it all washed out, I really don't see a better team. Right. I don't. I mean, Valanciunas is a really, really good player, and he's not there anymore. Right. And where he's at doesn't make any sense at all. Like, the Pelicans got tremendously worse. They clogged the middle again with a big man. They lost their shooters on the perimeter. Who the heck is going to shoot the ball for that team? Like, there weren't a lot of positive moves. And, you know, the Spurs lost all of their veterans. There's just this group that you're like, I'm not sold that any of them are a lot better than the rest of them. And it's the one team that figures out how to gel early, gets a big jump on the season, and who shows that they can stay together, that is going to be the team that really stands out of that group. And I think the Kings have as good a chance as anybody to do that, because they have a lot of players who played together for many years now. Their young players have shown that they're getting better. Their veterans have shown they're getting better. And it's just, can they piece it all together and hit the ground running?
And real quick, not to cut you off, Damian, but to your point, James, about haves and have nots, me and Damian were talking earlier, I'm not sure how many haves there are, right? Like, because there's no dominant team in the West. There, it almost feels like, aside from maybe Houston, or I don't think San Antonio is going to be good at all, and OKC. Maybe if you want to throw OKC in there, like, I feel like the other 12 teams in the league, in the conference, are just kind of, you can see any of them being anywhere in that whole Western Conference.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that a team like Dallas got any
better. That's what I was going to ask you about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think Dallas got any better at all. And how much better can Luka be? But you basically, you know, you lost, what, Josh Richardson, and you brought in Reggie Bullock, right? That's what they did. Yeah. I mean, that's like your, what, that's not a big move. Yeah. I mean, you might be a little bit better. Well, you wouldn't be better defensively. You'd be almost a wash.
They kind of ran it back, really.
Yeah, and you know, people want to give the Clippers a bunch of praise and think that they're going to be there. I mean, they're going to play without Kawhi Leonard probably for the entire season. Paul George has a long history of injuries. You know, Pat Bev is gone. They've made some additions, but nothing that just strikes you as like, man, that's a really, really good team. So, like, I think you're right. There isn't, like, some tremendous – I think your Utah Jazz, your Denver Nuggets are going to be really good. I think the Lakers are going to be really good. They're just going to take turns scoring 40 on everyone. But, you know, overall, I just don't know that the quality in the West is – We may have seen the cataclysmic shift that we've been waiting for forever, mm-hmm. Where the West loses out to the Eastern Conference, because the East sure does look tough to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kings insider James Hamm with us on D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320. There's one more cut to be made on the Kings roster. Who is it? Like, are you confident you know who it is? We've been going back and forth on different. Bob Woodard, Emmanuel Terry. I'm not really sure how some of these different contracts play out, but there's one cut to be made.
Yeah, it really does come down to contracts. I mean, the Kings did add two guys today. Mm-hmm. They added Murky, and they added Jefferson.
Yeah.
Both of those players will get waived here in the coming days. And then if you waive a player late, then you have their rights to go to the G League. And so the hope is that Matt Coleman and DJ Stewart, and then these other two that they brought in today will all go and play at the G League. It's a way for an NBA team to give somebody, I think you can give up to a $50,000 signing bonus. So when they go to the G League and they don't make anything, they at least have the $50,000 to take with them. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship there. Now, when it comes to the final spot, it's a little complicated for me because, I mean, Robert Woodard really looked like he looked really solid at the G League level when he got an opportunity, and then he got hurt. But outside of that, like, it's been a mess. Like, I was watching him throughout the beginning of camp, and there was a point in Omri Caspi's career where all of a sudden he started scraping the bottom of the scoreboard with his 3-point shot. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what are you doing? Like, I love Omri. I know Omri really well. He was in Sacramento at least twice, might even be more than twice, but like, we had a really good relationship. But there was a point where all of a sudden he had this release on his 3-point shot, and it was so high. Like, it didn't make any sense. And then I look over, and that's what I saw from Robert Woodard in, and it's like, who was working with you? What exactly happened? He just looks lost at almost every aspect of the game. And he's got this incredible frame. You know, like most NBA players, I think he misses some leg days, but he's got this incredible frame and this wingspan and everything. And none of it seems to really be functional at this point. And I hope that I'm wrong and they're seeing something different, but like, we even get to watch pickup games all day long mm-hmm. with the young guys. All the young guys go over to one court and do pickup games while the other guys shoot. So out of everybody, we've seen more Nemias Keita than we have of you know, like Marvin Bagley. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the way that it works. And he doesn't stand out. Robert Woodard doesn't stand out at all. And the guy who does stand out is Emmanuel Terry. And so I could see a situation where the Kings just go, look, it's a sunk cost. We owe Robert Woodard $1.5 million. But a guy like Liu Kang probably deserves that roster spot more. And you can basically shuffle the roster really quick, where you do something like wave Woodard, see if you can talk him into taking a G League assignment. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But then signing Liu Kang to the main roster and moving Emmanuel Terry to a two-way contract, because those two-way contracts, they actually pay, I think it's half of the league minimum. So you're talking about like $460,000 for somebody. That's a big deal, mm-hmm. especially for a guy like Terry, who last year went and played in Turkey and played in Israel to make that kind of money. Cause that's what that's the type of money, like eventually he's going to make a couple hundred grand to go overseas, where the G League, you just don't make the money still.
Right.
So I hope I wrapped that up. Like, I think
so. Even though
probably keep Woodard, I think that's what they'll do. But
even though Louis the King has the two way, right? He can be signed to I don't know, a regular contract.
Yeah, you can elevate here without any question. They're written into their contracts. There is a way to just add a two way player directly to the roster. You can,
and then that second one becomes available.
Yeah, so you could sign him to a league minimum contract, basically, and then that second one would become available, and then you could sign whether it's Emmanuel Terry or someone else. Gotcha. But the thing that the Kings did when they traded for when they picked up Emmanuel Terry and they ran him out in summer league and they loved him, they didn't just sign him to an Exhibit 10 contract for the summer. They actually went out and traded for his rights from the Agua Caliente. And so they actually own his G League rights. So if he does get waived by the Kings and he does decide to stay in the United States as opposed to going overseas, mm-hmm. he can go directly to the G League affiliate in Stockton, even though he's been around longer than a lot of the standard guys. So like once you get to a certain point, you become like a G League free agent that can go sign with different people, but other teams still hold your rights, mm-hmm. Which is where they had to go acquire his rights. And I really like him. He's actually very different, but he interacts with the media while they're playing games. Like he'll look over and say, "Hey, did you guys get that?" Like when he has like a huge dunk. He's a lot of fun. He's a different character, but you know, he's kind of cool to have around.
I like Emmanuel Terry. This is the way I kind of looked at it, James. I want to get your opinion on the way I broke it down. So right now, today, because it really came down for us between Terry and Woodard, because I didn't even fathom the thought that Louis King might be, you know, not here because he has the contract, but I forgot about that. But it came to Terry and Woodard for us, and I looked at it as right now Terry's a better player, hands down. He's a better NBA player, but and you keep him, and Woodard, if you waive him, odds are, I don't think he's going to get picked up by anybody. You pick him up, bring him to the G League team. But here's the deal with Terry. I felt like as much as I like Terry, as much of an eye-opener as I thought he was in summer league and then preseason, if he has to play for you this year, things have gone very, very wrong with the guys that you have on that front line. Like they're either all hurt or they all stink. And that's not good at all. So I will look at it as maybe you keep Woodard around or you find a way to make him the two-way guy, because there is an argument to be made that maybe Woodard just needs time and he needs development. And that's what you got the G League for. So if you had to choose between one to waive or keep, maybe organizational-wise, you keep Woodard and see if maybe you can pull something out of him, when knowing that, you know, if you keep Terry, he might not even play anyway.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Like, is there any sequence of events that could happen where Emmanuel Terry would play meaningful minutes in Sacramento this season? And I just really struggle to find that. Like, I'm not sure that there is, but there's also the ability to sign someone to a two-year two-way, so you could lock him up and have him as like a 16th roster spot for the, you know, for an extended period of time. And again, with Lou King, like, the Kings like Lou King. Like, he's going to be there. And guys can be up with the main roster and play up to 50 games a season, and practice time doesn't accrue days like it used to. So it used to be like up to 45 days with the parent club, and that included practice time or sitting on the end of a bench. Now it's 50 games you can be with the team. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's pretty convoluted. I mean, but at the end of the day, if I have a choice between a guy who I actually think could play minutes, that would be Lou King. Like, I think Lou has an ability that there is a potential for him, especially if you made a bigger trade, for him to find some way onto the court for at least a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. Where, I mean, with Emmanuel Terry, you got to go through like Alex Lynn, Tristan Thompson, Rashawn Holmes, right. Damian Jones, Chimezie Metu, right. Marvin Bagley. And then, oh, wait, I've got Mo Harkless and Harrison Barnes that can also play the four. So I'm at like 72 big men that can actually play the 4 or 5, which is where he's going to play for you. So mm-hmm. it's tough to see. But if you like his talent, you like his talent. And like having him in your organization is good for your team. And so that's what I think the Kings would like to do, is to keep them in their keep him in their organization. Because once you waive a player, it doesn't just mean he goes right to the G League. There could be another team that says, oh, look, he got waived, and pick him right up onto your main roster. Mm-hmm. So the two-way contract, what it does, just like to drag this out slightly more, the two-way contract makes him untouchable for other teams at the G League level. Where anyone who's at the G League, even if you own his rights and he goes to the G League, if another team in the NBA says, hey, I like Emmanuel Terry, they can swoop in and just sign him to their main roster. And then they could give him a two-way, or they could sign him to the main roster and then allocute him back to the G League, even though he's on their main 15-man roster. So, like, keeping him in the organization might be the idea that you're really hoping to do. And that would mean maybe you need to be a little more safe with how you keep him. And he's a guy that could just go like in December, like, I need to make real money and skip town.
You would get paid like if you're swooped up by another team to go to a main roster and then allocated later, you're getting main roster pay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You would get league minimum, and league minimum isn't 460. League minimum is like 920. Oh, it's 920K. So what's all
me? Sign me. I'll take the minimum.
Yeah. Well, I've always said, like, hey, when you guys get down to 7 players, just, you know, I'll set a pick.
And Ham had a 38-inch vertical, baby. Let's go.
It was a long time ago, but, you know, I'll still set a pick. I don't care how big the guy is.
He had like, them Brandon Crawford legs.
I'll be wheezing, but, you know, I'm ready.
James Ham, Kings Insider, with us. You talked with Luke Walton earlier. He said he's going to have his full complement of players tomorrow. He said something I was very surprised by. We've termed this the what the hell do I know category. He's going to play guys tomorrow, and he's going to play the core guys tomorrow, and he even mentioned playing them into the fourth quarter. Who do you think the starting lineup is tomorrow, and do you think that's the starting lineup a week from today?
Okay, so like, I hate predicting who the starting lineup is going to be, because I think – there are so many variables with this team, but if I were to put money on the starting lineup, and like, this could be one of those situations where people go at me like they go at Kenny. But like I can see, yeah. My predicted starting lineup for opening night is Fox, Halliburton, Barnes, Harkless, and Rashawn Holmes.
Okay.
That's what I would project.
Okay.
And I could be wrong, but
we had Bagley in place of Harkless. We didn't think they'd start small. We thought it would be Bagley over Harkless, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's about shooting and spacing the floor. And so Mo's shown an ability to shoot the three, but also savvy, defensive-minded, doesn't need the ball, doesn't require the ball. You got four other guys that want shots. He doesn't really care. You know, where if you put Bagley in there, that's a fifth guy that wants shots and wants the ball all the time. Not that to say he's any different than the other four guys that all want their shots. But I also think the versatility of him, of Harkless, his ability to play the three and the four, his ability to switch with Harrison Barnes, which I talked to Mo today about. I think they just complement each other really well. And he gives you that defensive minded guy that gives you one more in the starting lineup that helps you solidify things. And you can't have all of your offensive players on the starting unit and all your defensive players on the second unit. Cause then when you go to your bench, like, what's going to happen? Like, so I think you need to stagger it. And then I think the first guy off the bench, you move Harrison Barnes to the four. You bring in Buddy Hield to play the three. I think the next guy would be Tristan Thompson at the five and swapping out with Rashawn Holmes. And then Davion coming in to the backcourt and either Fox or Halliburton stepping out. And then away you go.
I like that. I like that. I like that idea. I got two questions in my head, James. I only got time for one. You want the positive or the negative?
You can say them really quick, and I'll try to give you quick answers.
No, this one is I don't think it's positive or negative. Dane, what should it be? Positive or negative?
Let's go positive.
Okay.
Oh, you really wanted to do the negative one? Just ask him.
No, I really was torn. We'll go positive. Davion Mitchell, the man so far from beyond the arc is shooting 62% in the preseason. Now, we obviously, it's not going to be 60% in the NBA, in the regular season. But does the prospects change of what he could be with this team and for this team, if he's shooting, I went off the window and said 45% earlier, but if he's shooting, we'll say 40%, 41% from beyond the arc, does that change everything that maybe Luke Walton had envisioned for him? Because now he can score to go along with that defense?
Yeah, I think it does. He's an off-ball player at this point. He's not ready to take on major point guard duties. Especially if he's going to be your defensive catalyst guy. So if he can shoot that, that tends to make – like, I think he jumps from 22 to 24 minutes a night to 25 to 28 minutes a night. And that's a substantial jump for me. But if he can replace – if he can shoot six or seven threes a game and replace some of the things you're getting from Buddy Hield, that's pretty substantial. That to me, it changes a lot of things. And the guys that will be impacted would be guys like Buddy, guys like Terrence Davis. But even like the domino effect that's going to happen here, it's really the guys at the four that are going to lose their time. Because if the five guards play really well and find some continuity and play defense and figure out how to succeed, that means that Harrison Barnes is going to play a ton at the four. It means that Mo Harkless is going to play majority of his minutes at the four. So your big rotation is going to be odd. You're going to need defensive minded guys at the five. So Rashawn, Tristan Thompson, and Alex Len, depending if you're playing against a monster or not, it depends on what type of five you're playing against. You're going to see a rotation of those guys. But like maybe your negative question was, what does that mean for Marvin Bagley?
And
well, go ahead, ask it. Just do it.
All right, you see anything wrong with Rashawn Holmes? Because he doesn't, in two preseason games, it's not that he's terrible, but do you see what me and Damien see, where something's off with him right now?
Yeah, I do. Like I mentioned it in my my recap. Something feels a little off with him. Mm-hmm. Like we talked to him the other day. He seemed fine. I don't know if it's a little bit of a contract hangover, you know, if he's got like the Buddy Hield contract hangover. I don't think he should be mad at the Kings. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, he doubled up his money, which the Kings had already doubled up on what he had made before. So something feels a little off the push shot, you know, but again, like we talked to guys today and they all talked about, they mentioned him and like, you know, that push shot is automatic. It just feels like he hasn't found his flow with all of these guards and all of the different sequence yet. And you hope that he finds that quickly, because if not, I mean, again, like Alex Len, Tristan Thompson, those guys they're ready to play. And so maybe part of it's that, maybe part of it's that he didn't start the second game. That could be an issue. Like, is there murmurs that, you know, behind the scenes that we don't hear about who's going to start? And I just don't see it. I think he's going to be fine. He'll figure it out. He's a happy-go-lucky guy, and I think he'll work everything out and hit the ground running. At least that's what I hope.
No. Turned a negative into a positive.
The next time we talk to James, man, it'll be opening day 1 week from today. James, we appreciate you as always.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.